Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So we've talked about AliExpress before and the kind of amazing supply chain that they have managed to create to Israel, where there is an absurd amount of demand for products. We've talked about the economics of that before, the lack of Amazon relatively in this country. And I guess all those factors conspiring to make people here really into buying stuff on AliExpress. And of course, it's a practical thing that people buy things that they need and can't find locally. And it's also at times a very entertaining platform. It's a bit quirky and eccentric, and you find stuff on AliExpress that you just wouldn't find anywhere else in the world. We talked as well about the fact that there's definitely an underside to it in terms of the sustainability cost and maybe supporting poor labor practices as well, which we should definitely get into, but I think it really merits its own episode because it's an important topic. But I'd like to talk today about a practical one for those buying from AliExpress. If you've been buying from the platform for any length of time, you've probably heard about the Chinese New Year. Sometimes AliExpress vendors call it the great holiday or the big holiday. I think it's their kind of informal slang. I had a friend who lived in Hong Kong for many years and told me a little bit about what it is, and it's this colossal migration. He said it was the biggest internal migration of people that anywhere in the world. Everyone goes back to their hometowns from the major cities. And when you're buying things from AliExpress, you get the feeling that they're insanely industrious. All these factories, they're working kind of round the clock on production lines. But then when it comes to the Chinese New Year, they go home, and then they come back after the great holiday. And in between then, it's a lull. So it always strikes me as kind of almost a bit of a paradox that you have this kind of insane culture of, I think, often unsustainable and even exploitative expectations for productivity. And yet you have this kind of generous, or what sounds like kind of a generously timed holiday period, and then people come back. So I'd love to learn, Herman and Corin, this has huge impacts upon global supply chains, given how much stuff is coming from China. I think AliExpress is always the very kind of small scale of it. I think it's a direct-to-consumer channel operated on the periphery of a big factory that's mostly selling B2B. But they do sometimes, even in this context, announce their dates approximately, but they frequently don't give exact dates as to when they're back online and offline. So Herman and Corin, I'd love to chat with so much of our everything in the world coming from China. This period where the country goes mostly offline, the factory shut down, has to have really big downstream effects for major buyers. So I'd love to learn more about that, Herman and Corin. How much of a disruption is it, and how do buyers in the West manage to negotiate around it? And what happens if they do have an urgent demand for something that's produced only or predominantly in China, but it just happens to fall out over the Chinese holiday period? Herman and Corin, let's talk about the Chinese New Year and supply chains again. Over to you two.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corin, and I am joined today by my brother, as always.
Herman Poppleberry here, and ready to dive into the data. It is January 31st, 26, which means we are in the thick of the Chinese New Year holiday period.
Exactly. Our housemate Daniel sent us a timely prompt today. He was asking about the impact of the Chinese New Year on the global supply chain, and how Western buyers actually navigate the chaos when they have urgent demands.
It is the perfect time to talk about this because the Year of the Fire Horse officially began on January 29th. For the global supply chain, the holiday does not start on a single day. It is a cascading event. We are currently in the thick of the Chunyuan travel rush and the factory shutdown.
I think most people in the West think of holidays as a day or maybe a long weekend where things slow down. But when you are talking about the manufacturing powerhouse of the world, a holiday is a complete structural shift. Herman, what is the scale we are looking at this year?
It is staggering, Korn. The official travel rush, known as Chunyuan, is happening right now. The Chinese government is forecasting billions of inter-regional trips over the next few weeks. It is the largest annual human migration on Earth. Imagine the entire population of the planet moving, plus another billion people, all within a few weeks.
That explains why my favorite electronics brand just sent out an out-of-stock notice. But let us get into the mechanics. Daniel was curious about the level of disruption. When we say the factories close, what does that actually look like on the ground right now?
It is a total industrial blackout. About 2 to 3 weeks before the actual New Year's Day, so right about now, factories start losing their workforce. Most factory workers in coastal hubs like Guangdong are migrant workers from inland provinces. They start leaving early to beat the rush. By the time the holiday arrives, the production lines are literally silent. And it is not just the assembly lines, it is the entire ecosystem. If the person who makes the specific screws you need is on a high-speed train to Sichuan, your whole product is stuck.
And this year, there are some extra layers of complexity, right? I have been reading about shipping routes.
Oh, absolutely. In early 26, we are still dealing with the long-term effects of Red Sea diversions, which have already added 10 to 15 days to transit times for Europe-bound cargo. When you layer the Chinese New Year shutdown on top of that, a delay in February can mean you do not see your goods until May. Carriers are also announcing blank sailings, basically canceling 16% of scheduled trips because they know the cargo volume will vanish once the factories go dark.
So what about Daniel's question regarding urgent demand? If a company has a viral hit or a major component failure right now, in late January or early February, what are their options? Are they just out of luck?
Mostly, yes. But there are a few emergency levers. The first is air freight. If the stock is already sitting in a warehouse, you can pay a premium to fly it out. But we are talking about 5 to 10 times the cost of sea freight, and even then, you need a truck driver to get it to the airport. During the peak of Chunyuan, local logistics are the biggest bottleneck. Some massive firms like Apple might pay huge bonuses to keep a skeleton crew on the line, but for 99% of businesses, the answer is you should have ordered in October.
That leads to the Western side of the strategy. How do procurement managers play this game of logistics chess?
The primary strategy is the pre-holiday pull forward. You have to forecast your demand for February and March way back in the previous autumn. You place massive orders early so they ship before the shutdown. This creates a massive surge in shipping demand in early January. Interestingly, this year we saw a bit of a price dip in late January because so many companies front-loaded their inventory so early to avoid the Red Sea delays.
It sounds like a major cash flow challenge. You are paying for months of inventory in advance and then paying for warehousing in the West while it sits there.
It is a massive financial burden. For a small business, this is a make-or-break period. If you order too little, you lose customers. If you order too much, you have a cash crunch. This is why we are seeing the rise of the China Plus One strategy. Companies are diversifying into Vietnam, India, or Mexico to avoid having a single point of failure.
But even then, aren't those factories often dependent on Chinese parts?
Exactly. A factory in Vietnam might still source its zippers or circuit boards from China. If the Chinese supplier is closed for the year of the horse, the Vietnamese factory might run out of parts after a week anyway. China is the heart of the global circulatory system. When the heart slows down, the extremities feel it eventually.
Let us talk about the reopening. I have heard that the ramp up in March is actually more dangerous than the shutdown. Why is that?
The reopening is incredibly volatile because of worker retention. Statistics show that 10 to 30% of migrant workers might not return to the same factory. They might find a job closer to home or look for better pay elsewhere. The factory manager suddenly has to hire and train new people on the fly while trying to clear a massive backlog. This leads to major quality control issues. If you are a Western buyer getting your first shipment in March, you really have to double-check the quality because the pressure on those factories is immense.
It is a fascinating standoff between modern commerce and ancient tradition. It forces the world to acknowledge that the global economy is not a machine. It is a collection of people who want to go home and see their families.
It really is. There is even a measurable dip in global carbon dioxide levels during this period because the industrial output drops so significantly. It is one of the few times the global economy actually takes a breath.
So, to summarize for Daniel, the disruption is a month-long ripple effect, not a one-week break. Western buyers navigated through intense forecasting, early ordering, and increasingly by building regional hubs in places like Mexico to mitigate the total shutdown.
That covers it. If you want to succeed in global trade, you have to respect the lunar calendar. It is a literal astronomical influence on the stock market.
Well, this has been a deep dive. Thanks to Daniel for the prompt, and thanks to all of you for listening. If you are enjoying the show, we would really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other people find us.
It makes a huge difference. You can find all our past episodes and show notes at myweirdprompts.com.
Stay curious, everyone. We will be back next week with another prompt.
Until next time.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.